the walkout may have worked.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The UAW's two-day strike against General Motors is over. These two sides hammered out a tentative agreement late last night, and part of it includes the creation of a health care trust. This is where the union will assume about $50 billion in future retiree medical cost.
It's very similar to an account in which money is deposited and earns interest in returns and then is used to fund the benefits. And that is a major step forward for both of our organizations to improve our competitiveness and, you know, provide security for employees and retirees.
That's GM spokesman Tom Wickham. Shares in GM right now trading up 6% in Europe. Well, here at home, the stock market was mixed yesterday. Home building and retail shares were down, but tech was up. The Dow added 19 to 13,778, but the S&P slipped a fraction to 1517, and the NASDAQ rose 15 to 2683. In Asia, overnight, the major markets edged higher. Stocks in Europe, they're up as well. The global financial system has become incredibly interconnected. Just look at how the subprime mortgage mess here hurt banks in Frankfurt and London. The currency market is where all of this is played out. This morning, the Wall Street Journal cites a new report showing daily turnover in the foreign exchange reached $3.2 trillion this spring. That's daily. That's more than the annual economic output of Germany or China. And the center of Forex action is no longer New York. It's London, as Stephen Beard reports.
Currency trading is the world's largest financial business. More than $3 trillion worth of deals are done every day. And London has the lion's share of that market, 34.1% of it, according to the latest figures. That's now more than double New York's share. London's edge, says analyst Neil McKinnon, comes down to its location.
You know, London has this advantage of covering the sort of Asian and American time zones. For international investors who want to enjoy the benefits of actively traded markets, London fits the bill.
The British capital has benefited from the huge increase in the foreign exchange reserves of China and other Asian countries. And, says McKinnon, London's increasing dominance may also be due to the growth of hedge funds here, which play a bigger role in currency trading than ever before. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The German aspirin giant Bayer is leaving the New York Stock Exchange today. It will no longer be listed under the ticker BAY. And it's not the only European company delisting. Jill Barshay reports.
Business lobbyists have been warning for 5 years that foreign companies would leave U.S. stock markets because of onerous and expensive regulations. And it's finally happening. Heading out the exit doors this year are British Airways, Ducati, and now Bayer. Bill Klein runs Akai Solutions, a company that works with stock exchanges. He says electronic trading is what's really driving global companies to list on fewer exchanges.
So by entering an order on a computer, that order can go to exchanges all over the world. And in short, capital can find the companies regardless of where they list.
Bayer says leaving the NYSE will save more than $20 million in listing fees and accounting costs. Klein expects more foreign companies to leave, especially big ones with marquee names that don't need a U.S. listing to get the attention of investors. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October. By Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org.
We're excited about a special series planned for air later this fall. It'll look at whether we can sustain our consumer economy. The staff is doing the reporting for it right now. One of them is Marketplace's Tess Viglin. She's volunteered to spend 2 weeks hauling her household trash around with her. She joins us in studio. Tess, what's the setup?
Well, you know, for this Consumed series, it's going to air in November. We're talking all about what our consumption habits are doing to the planet. If you look at the numbers from the EPA, our population since 1960 has grown by 60%. The amount of garbage that we're generating has grown by 179% since 1960. So there's a major disconnect in terms of how much we are sending to landfills. And so this experiment is really all about trying to put a personal face on what at least I am doing to the planet.
On a big problem.
Exactly.
What was it like in the end? How much did you accumulate?
Well, I'm in day 11 right now, and I just yesterday had to throw out my first trash bag. It was 10 days worth of my trash, and I only used one bag. In our family, we do a lot of recycling, and we do a lot of composting. So I didn't have a whole lot of trash, but by the end of 10 days, I had chicken bones in there. I had corn cobs, which don't compost very well, and all that really started to stink.
Any habits change along the way? I mean, did you find yourself making different decisions during the course of the day? I better not make that choice because it's only going to end up in my bag, which
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to carry with me through the rest of the week.
Yes, and in fact, that really had an effect on me at the grocery store. For example, I did not want to carry around chicken bones. And so by later in the challenge, I started to buy boneless, skinless chicken breasts.
So would you make a challenge then to listeners that they should make an attempt to do this just to be able to get an understanding of how much they're contributing to this notion of throughput, waste that is ending up in the environment somewhere?
Absolutely. You know, and it's a growing problem because we're running out of places to put landfills. So at some point, we are going to have to reduce the amount of garbage that we are sending out there to that away place, which just kind of goes away and we don't think about it. We have to think of ways to cut down on both our consumption on the front end and what we throw away on the back end. And what I realized as I'm going through this challenge is that it is infinitely possible to reduce your waste stream.
Marketplace's Tess Figlin, thanks so much.
Thanks, Doug.
You can find out more about Tess's Trash Challenge at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.